Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the NJ Podcast. This podcast aims to share stories, tips, and insights about achieving success while having fun. From topics ranging from personal development to business, entertainment, and sports, the podcast will have conversations with experts and people in their respective fields. The podcast will also share insights from Jabra James's published and upcoming books. The tagline, which is the theme of the podcast, is "Success is a progressive realization of a worthy ideal." This means that you are doing what you have always wanted to do because it is aligned with your highest values, and this is the only way you can live a truly fulfilled life. Your host, Jablo James.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to share my screen. Let me do that. Can everyone see my screen? All right, cool. So I'll just get started. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us on this International Project Management Day. I want to address you on the topic of everybody wants to be a project manager, and the subtitle of it is the importance of project management and leading projects within remote and client teams. I'm very excited to share this topic with you this afternoon, this evening. And I'm just going to go through a brief introduction of myself, and then I'm going to talk to you about what exactly it is that I mean when I say that everybody wants to be a project manager. I'm going to go through some of the digital project pitfalls, and what is the most important thing for you to overcome the digital project pitfalls, and also how we can go about managing global projects as well as remote teams. And then hopefully we're going to have a great and constructive session. This is not me just delivering a talk. I would prefer this to be more of a conversation, and just for you to be thinking about some of the things that I'll be sharing with you this evening. And just as a bit of an introduction, yes, I am from Benoni. Don't judge me. Everybody has a sad story, and that's mine. There's a term they say, previously disadvantaged, but I'm currently disadvantaged because I'm from that area. I don't know why we get such a bad rap, because a lot of great people come from Benoni. You know, you've got Charlize Theron, you've got DJ Euphonic, and then you've got myself, of course. I always get such a bad rap for that. Just a bit of my journey, my education journey, my certification journey. So I graduated from Rhodes University with an honors degree in information systems. I did my honors thesis in agile software development practices in the IT consulting industry in South Africa. I started off my career off as a business analyst and a project management consultant. I got myself certified in PRINCE2 Foundation, that's Project in Controlled Environments. And then my love for project management escalated, I became a certified Scrum Master for the Agile Ways of Working. And then I went after the gold standard of project management certifications, and that is the PMP. And if you want to develop yourself from a professional standpoint, I definitely fully recommend that, and PMI can help you to do so. I am also a Toastmasters connoisseur. I love that organization. It is the best organization for personal development and leadership in the world. And I became a distinguished Toastmaster after doing a lot of project management projects, as well as a lot of speaking assignments. If you haven't heard of Toastmasters, great organization. Go find a local club, look for them on the internet, and they definitely will be assist you in your personal development and professional development journey. In my spare time, I do take the time to write books. So I have two published books. The first one is Inspired Success. That one was published in 2017, where I wanted to answer the question, what makes a difference in the quality of people's lives, and what is the true definition of success? Because I believe in personal development before professional achievement. Then the second book that I went and published is called You Are a Business, Treat Yourself Like One. And what I've learned is that it doesn't matter who's paying your salary, whether you're an employee or self-employed, there are business principles that you can apply to yourself so that you can become more valuable and more competitive, and have more of a leading edge in the marketplace. Because once you start treating yourself as a business, you adopt a high level of responsibility. And then the book that I'm also working on now, which will be the basis for which this talk is centered, is Everybody Wants to Be a Project Manager. And after all the scars of project management war that I have, I decided to start writing writing a book about it so that I can share the lessons. And we just want to look at stories of how we can become successful as a project manager. And I know that you can't be unmute yourself because it's going to cause, could cause some chaos, but I want you to, in your living rooms, to say, I'm ready. Okay. Everybody wants to be a project manager, but not everybody wants to do the hard work. So what I mean by this, and it can be funny because it's like can't be lost in translation. When I say this to the project team members, such as developers, product owners, business analysts, the C-suite, and some of my, the clients that we work with, they look at it and say, nobody wants to be a project manager. I don't want to be a project manager. Why would I want to sign up for all that, responsibility and being blamed for everything? But what I'm really saying with this one is that people can start off in the project management profession, really underestimate the gravity of what you're doing, because some people think that you just set up a couple of meetings, set up some sessions, send some emails out, put some end dates and schedule some tasks, and that'd be the end of it, and be the person that bothers people for so when you say, are you finished, are you not finished? But it's not like that. You have to work, and you have to work hard, and you need a lot of emotional grit, especially in the digital space where things are constantly changing all the time. And a lot of people have a hard time trying to understand the importance of project management. So the importance of project management is summed up very beautifully in this quote that I found by Joy Gums, when he says that operations keeps the lights on, strategy provides the light at the end of the tunnel, but project management is the train engine that moves the organization forward. I'll say that again because I love it so much. Operations keeps the lights on, strategy provides the light at the end of the tunnel, but project management is a train engine that moves the organization forward. So that's because without project management, key strategic objectives of organization are not going to be met. When the CEO says that we want our institution to be more competitive in the digital age, how does that get achieved? By initiating a project. So if you're a project professional and you want to be a project manager, I want you to say to yourself where you are, I matter. I am a very important part of the organization. And for people who don't understand the psychology of project managers, and I just want to share this because we can be misunderstood. When you meet a project manager, one thing that you must know is that person is one crazy somebody. They're exceptionally crazy. And I'll tell you why. Because as a project manager, you are entering a profession where 80% of all your work and your endeavors is guaranteed to fail. The reports out that 80% of projects are all fail. So now you are signing up for a role for you to guide and execute projects with an 80% likelihood of failure. You have to be a crazy person. And also you have to adopt a high level of responsibility where you don't see yourself as just a normal person. You see yourself as the owner of the project and the CEO of the project, because when things go wrong, and more likely than not they will, the very first person that they're going to look at, they're not going to look at your development team or your project team. They're going to look at you. They're going to hold you accountable. Similar to shareholders hold CEOs accountable for the performance of the organization, you are held accountable to the performance of the project. And I remember a colleague of mine saying to me once something went really south on a project. A developer walked out and said, we're not going to be able to deliver this project on time, even though we promised the clients. And I was like, well, why not? And he's like, I don't have the time to tell you that. I'm like, what? And then he walked off, and then we had to really try to win over the clients. And then I spoke to the demand owner and I said, but what happened here was not my fault. So why am I dying? And he said, no. You're the project manager. It's not your fault, but it is your problem. And I was like, well, that sums up project management especially. And it's much more than just handling a few tasks. And it's something that you have to work, and you have to work hard at it. And you have to have this deep-seated emotional grit, because you'll fail, you'll learn your lessons, you'll cry yourself to sleep, you'll want to curl up into a fetal position and say, I can't do this anymore. But because you are this crazy somebody, you will still want to get up in the morning and do it all over again. And that is the psychology that's prevalent with really, really great project managers. They may not be the most technically gifted, but in terms of the psychological strength and the emotional grit, they are 100% powerful. So I want you to say to yourself, even though you can't unmute yourself, if you're a project management professional, I am a crazy somebody. I am the CEO of the project. It may not be my fault, but it's still my problem to solve. I will fail. I will learn. I will cry, but I'll get up and do it all over again. because that's the emotional grit that you have to, that you need. And if you don't have that, especially in this time of increasing competition, changing environments, and uncertainty, then you're not going to make it as far as possible as you could. And then I also want to share a couple of quotes around project management that I actually found quite intriguing, that further belabors the point that you are a crazy somebody for you to think you're going to be successful in project management. The first one is, if an IT project, because that's in the space I work in, especially from a digital environment, if an IT project works fine the first time, it was in your nightly dreams. So time to wake up and get to work. And that was by Cornelius Fisher. And then the other one is, no major project is ever installed on time, within budget, with the same staff that started it. And that's from Edwards, Butler, Hill and Russell. So that further belabors the point that we're in a hostile environment, and you need to be a very strong and an agile and emotionally strong person for you to succeed as a project manager. And once you really understand the importance and the psychology that you need to be successful, which is more importantly like the emotional grit, then you're on your way to being successful as a project manager. Something I want to leave you as just a food for thought, I'm not really going to delve too deep into this one, is that the main reason projects fail, digital projects fail, is because they were not possible to begin with. And that comes to, a date was set without knowing what was supposed to be delivered. And when the date comes, we're all like, why didn't we make it? Because it wasn't possible from the very beginning. Just food for thought, because failing to plan is planning to fail. I'm not going to spend more time on that. Just some food for thought there. So I want to talk to you about some of the pitfalls in digital project management. And in my experience, in the 6 years experience, sometimes as a PM, it can feel like dog years, you know, like take those 6 years and times it by three. In my experience, the biggest digital project pitfalls come down to three main things: the priorities and prioritization, content, and then the one thing that I'm really going to spend a lot of time on is addressing the elephant in the room. The first one is priorities. What is the priority of the project? What is it that you want to achieve? Which features do you want to deliver first? Which regions and countries do you want to deliver first? Which tasks should you schedule first? The reason that projects fail is that there's no clear, there's a lack of clear priorities. For example, in the digital space where I work, you, and especially in agile ways of working, you have something called a product owner, and the product owner will tell you exactly what features we want first, what the market is looking for, and how we should go about tackling them. But oftentimes, sometimes you'll find business will have conflicting priorities, and then the developer will think, something else will need to come different, will have to come first. And then sometimes you as a project manager will say, look, wait, this actually doesn't make sense for us.
Like what you're hearing so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking subscribe now button. Follow on YouTube, Instagram, and other platforms listed. Also, check out the website for more information. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for the support. Now back to the show.
Please have an MVP first before we go with the full features. Can we make sure everything's fully tested first before we go and release it out there? But so if you need to be able to collaborate with the entire project team ecosystem to have your clear priorities, and the number one focus for a project outcome is the end consumer, is the person who's going to be using the product, which takes me to the next project pitfall for a project, is the content. Now, since the end consumers are most important, what they will be seeing, what they will be feeling, what they will be consuming is the content. And that can come down to, it can be the articles, it can be the mobile application design, the color, the font, and anything that the digital product is going to be serving them. And to backtrack and what I mean by digital, anything that has to do with is essentially the internet, pixels, the screens, pictures, and things that that you use. It can be a mobile application, a web application, an intranet, an extranet. Those are what you can consider digital products, projects. And in today's world, that's pretty much almost everything. And the content is what they're going to be seeing most of the time. You can have a digital product and then you go live with it, but if the content that's being served up is not benefiting the consumer, then you have something they call a white elephant. White elephant is this product that's been deployed, but no one wants it and no one uses it. And in that case, was it a successful deployment? I would think not. So you need to really collaborate with the business analyst, with the product owner, with the UX and with the UI team, and with the strategy team, to make sure that you have a clear content plan, because you can have a digital product, but if it doesn't serve you the content that you want and that you need, that the client wants, then you're going to end up with a white elephant. And the last one I really want to spend more time in terms of digital project pitfalls and failures is the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is some things that we all know they are a problem. We all know they're detrimental to project success, but no one wants to talk about it. Again, but you have to be one crazy person, which we've established as a project manager already are, for you to be able to say, okay, I will risk making people angry. I will risk getting fired. I will risk being isolated for me to raise this issue that is really detrimental to project success. I'll tell you an experience that I had. For example, we were tasked with making sure that we were able to deliver a mobile application. And there were two things that people didn't want to talk about from the executive level to the project level. Two things people didn't want to talk about. The end date was not possible with the resources and the planning that had gone on. It was going to lead towards disaster. And also there was a third party from a technology perspective, and especially digital projects, you've got so many technologies, and if they're incompatible with each other, it can be an unmitigated disaster and a nightmare. There was a third party who was giving us a service and a technology, but upon analysis, we found that it's not compatible with the solution that we're building. It's not going to meet the requirements, and it's really going to be detrimental to the project success and go live. Then we found that the person who greenlit the use of the date in addition to the third party technology was really quite high up, stakeholders were really high up. And so what do you do in that case? Do you just throw your hands up in the air, or do you just shoot them an email and say that the decisions were poor? You need to have the emotional intelligence and the grit for you to be able to approach this situation with discretion. So what I did, I called an emergency meeting and I said, listen, we want to go live by this certain date. This date is not really possible for all the full features that you want. In addition, this technology from the third party is not going to work out. What can we do to work out? And then that approach, I was coached to do this, because my approach would have been to be direct. And then we were able to move things around and try to look for different things. But that is what you need to do as a project manager, is to raise the elephant in the room that people don't want to talk about. Because if you really care about the project going well and serving the end consumer and being good for everybody, you need to take the task upon yourself to just raise these issues before they become a nightmare. Because the last option that you really want is to wait for things to really fall apart, and then you end up with egg on your face. And then remember, they're going to say, why didn't you tell us? It's all going to come back to you. So you need to have that emotional grit and the emotional intelligence for you to say, I'm going to raise the elephant in the room. So in your own silence, in your own rooms, I want you to say, I'm going to raise the elephant in the room. Okay. So now I just want to briefly talk about the last part of the presentation, where I'll talk about leading global teams and remote teams. So I've been in a situation where I'm privileged enough to have guided teams and deployed digital projects in the UK, Spain, Brazil. Some of my teams have been based in Italy, in addition to Australia, and some of the development team and testing teams we've worked with have been based in places like India. So I have been exposed to all this, and it was a very, very big learning curve. So what I've learned about managing global teams and remote teams comes down to three things: having the right collaborative tool, understanding the way that they work, and also, which is the main thing for me, is being empathetic. So let's talk about the right collaborative tool. How are you going to run your meetings? Are you going to use Zoom? Are you going to use Microsoft Teams? How are the developers going to speak to each other? Are you going to use Slack? Or how are you going to run your projects? Are you going to use Jira, the Atlassian suite? Are you going to use Jira and Confluence? Or are you just going to use Office 365? I found that the tool itself does matter, but more importantly is that having everyone in alignment with the tool, and that everybody knows that this is the tool that we want to use, and having everyone trained up in it and make sure that they understand how it actually works. For me, I prefer Microsoft Teams because because I've been using Microsoft Suite for such a long time. And then to run projects, I'll go for Jira. Hopefully they're listening here so that I can get sponsorship for giving them free advertising on this call. And then the next thing is for you to really understand another person's way of working. For example, if you have teams that are based all over the world, their midday is your 3 o'clock in the evening. Their 3 o'clock in the evening is your midday. So you need to be sure, use your discretion for how you schedule meetings around. And then also understand what their cultural take is like. For example, the Spaniards, when they take holiday, that's exactly what they do. They take their holiday and they take their holidays seriously. And then also just a look at how they communicate. I was once in a situation where we were conversing with a Spanish stakeholder, and it was crunch time of the project, so you know emotions are high. And then he said to me that, look, please listen. I know I might sound harsh, but this is how I speak. That's how we speak in Spanish, and I'm trying to find the right words in English to communicate to you. So if it come across as brash and as harsh, just understand where it's coming from. And one thing I've known watching a lot of Money Heist and Narcos is that the people who are Spanish speaking, when they are angry at you, you will know that they are angry with you. So try to understand their way of working. The more importantly, and I want to sit on this one, is for us to learn to be empathetic, which means taking another person's perspective. And that is one of the main reasons where we find ourselves in situations where there's a perception that corporate is cutthroat, and that it's dog eat dog, it's every person for himself, and you end up being frustrated with your team members. I think the number one reason for that is that we sometimes lack the emotional maturity for us to say we're going to be empathetic to the other person. Because you'll be working in a multidisciplinary team with people who are global, you need to be at least try to understand other person. Where are they coming from? What is going on in the world? How is it that they think about things? When you're working with a product owner, try and understand where is the product owner coming from? What are their priorities? One of the biggest lessons in me learning to be empathetic was towards a client and a developer. And developers are a very special breed. I have a very big love-hate relationship with them. For example, there was a developer, a full-stack developer I was working with. And this was early on in my career. And I just wanted to get an update from him. Like, oh, are you going to make it? Are there any blockers? And he would start telling me about all this technical language that I didn't know about, such as Postgres, MongoDB, Orango, jQuery, JSON, SQL queries, cron jobs, bash jobs, REST API, SOAP UI. I'm like, okay, all that's great, and I'll learn that. But just tell me, are we going to go live on the 15th of November? So I had to really learn to take that empathy, and I had to speak with them. Like, so how do you like to work? He told me, you set up so many meetings and sessions. I don't like meetings. I just want to get down and code. And also, don't call me. Please send me a message. And then also, sometimes it's a thankless task being a developer because they'll work like 16-hour days if they're really dedicated. So I had to take that with a point of empathy. I'm like, what is their perspective and how big are the emotions there? And then also I was working with a client, and then things were not really going too well. And then the head of the PMO at that time, she said to me, look, listen, every time that we don't deliver to this client, we're actually hurting his livelihood. And he's so passionate and he's so involved inside for the successful outcome for the project. So after I learned that, I'm like, oh, that's why he can tend to be emotional. It's not that he's emotional or a bad person. It's just that he's really, really invested in the the work that he's doing. So to for you to really be empathetic, and it will help you in terms of leaps and bounds and understand your stakeholders and your team members. Try to understand where they're coming from, and also understand what their emotional state is, because sometimes things are not going too well on the project, and sometimes in their personal lives, and it can be a bit tough. And then also try to suspend your own judgment. I know it can be a bit tough. Judgment is when you think less or more of a person based on information that you receive. Because if a person knows more than you do, you can tend to be like, oh, this person's so great. But if a person knows less than you do, then you're like, oh, this person, why is this person so different? So try and suspend your emotion, suspend judgment, and try to learn that nothing is ever personal to you. So the best thing is for you to be emotionally dispassionate from the outcome, because you will end up driving yourself crazy. Because again, you're a crazy somebody in an industry where 80% of projects fail. And if you are led by your emotions constantly, and you take on failures, and you identify yourself as a failure, it's going to be really, really tough for you. So, and also another thing I wanted to say is that programmers only have two states. They think they're a god, or they know nothing, just in case you wanted to know. So we need to learn to embody that empathy for people who live in different cultures as well. So I've spoken at length today about everyone wants to be a project manager. So I want you to have these three main takeaways. For you to have that emotional grit as a project manager, especially in this industry that we work in, be unapologetic and be courageous enough to address the elephants in the room. And you also need to really adopt that empathy in order for you to be successful in this time, in these trying times. And then remember that everybody wants to be a project manager, but not everybody wants to do the hard work. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on this episode on the NJ Podcast. Make sure to visit the website, the njpodcast.captivateair.fm, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or the other podcast platforms, or via RSS, so you never miss a show. You can also find the video content on the YouTube channel and Instagram page. That will be Njabulo James on YouTube and njabulo.j.ngosi for Instagram. Please subscribe and follow on those platforms as well. And while you're at it, if you found value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating on the podcast platforms, or if you'd like to tell a friend about the show, that will help us out too. If you'd like more information about published or upcoming books, visit www.njabulojames.com for more information. Please reach out if you'd like to share what you would like to hear and which guests should be invited to the show. And remember, success is a progressive realization of a worthy ideal, which means that you are doing what you have always wanted to do because it is aligned with your highest values, and this is the only way you can live a truly fulfilled life. Now just chill until the next episode.